London's stock market listings are falling. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Let's start from the basics. A major way for companies to raise cash is by going public with a listing of their shares on stock markets. And the competition between markets across the world for that has become more intense, especially in the tech sector. In the last few years, the UK has been losing out. A government review revealed that the number of companies listing in London has fallen by 40% since 2008. This year, London has secured just 6 new listings compared with 56 on the US exchanges and 34 in Europe. Just this week, the UK microchip giant Arm formally filed plans to offer its shares in the US rather than London. Co-founder Herman Hauser gave this explanation for the move.
The fact is that New York, of course, is a much deeper market than London. And partially because of the Brexit idiocy, of course, the image of the London Stock Exchange has suffered a lot.
Now, the UK regulator, the Financial Conduct Authority, says it wants to simplify some of the rules. Nicol Rathi is the chief executive.
We made some changes 2 years ago to simplify our rules, and we're now proposing a debate to go quite a bit further. So we have at the moment two segments, a standard segment and a premium segment, and we're proposing to move to a single segment, simplifying the rules. We're making it easier for companies to join the market quicker with a shorter track record, making it easier for them to grow, including through transactions where they disclose the details of those transactions to investors, and in particular in the area of technology companies, allowing founders to hold on to controlling shares for somewhat longer than was the case previously. Now, these are really important reforms. As you say, there's a global phenomenon here of companies leaving public markets. And what this is doing is striking a new balance between companies that are selling shares and investors. And it does entail more risk for investors, having to get to know companies better and make their own judgments about how they wish to invest and at what price they wish to invest.
That's Nicol Rathi, chief executive of the UK's Financial Conduct Authority. For more on markets, let's do the numbers. Brent crude futures fell below $75 a barrel for the first time since March. That's because traders are still worrying about the health of the banks, the US economy and China's manufacturing sector. Turkey's official inflation rate fell below 50% for the first time since January 2022 as lower energy prices and measures to stabilise the lira filtered through the economy. And of course, all eyes are on the Fed as it announces its decision on interest rates later today. Markets are mixed because traders expect interest rates to go up by a quarter. Now, yesterday we heard from the so-called godfather of AI and how he's worried about the future of the technology. The share prices of several major education companies have now fallen sharply as the disruptive impact of artificial intelligence begins to be felt in the sector. The British firm Pearson and the US firm Chegg have both taken a hit. But Vishal Gupta, Associate Professor of Data Sciences and Operations at the University of Southern California's Marshall School of Business, said it doesn't mean educators have become redundant. It's just that the nature of their work is likely to change.
By no means do I think that, you know, educators should be replaced entirely by AI. Probably a better way to think about this is that in any given job, there are tasks that you do that are kind of low-level cognitive tasks, and then there are tasks that you do that are high-level cognitive tasks that require judgment and criticism. But the reality is that at present, AI is pretty good at taking over low-level cognitive tasks, but somehow is yet to be able to really definitively take over high-level cognitive tasks. Mm. So what this really means is that you're not going to see sort of jobs disappear, but rather you might see jobs change in shape and shift tasks more towards having human doing high-stakes, high-level cognitive tasks and offloading grunt work onto the AI tool.
Vishal Gupta at the University of Southern California speaking there. The Women's Soccer World Cup is just 78 days away, but will fans in some countries be able to watch it? Gianni Infantino, who runs the governing body FIFA, warned broadcasters in Europe will not be able to show the games if they do not improve their offers. Here's Mr. Infantino speaking at the World Trade Organization.
If we take the big five European countries who are the most developed in the football GDP, well, they pay for the men's World Cup somewhere between 100 and 200 million each. Spain is a little bit less, a little bit below 100 million. Now, for the women's World Cup, they make us offers of 10 to 100 times less than for the men's World Cup. 100 times less. Now, when you look at the viewing figures of the women's World Cup, you compare it with the men's World Cup, it is not 100 times less. It is maybe, the women's World Cup is maybe 50 to 60% of the men's World Cup. In Germany, the most watched game, football game last year was the women's Euro final.
Gianni Infantino speaking there. So what's behind the low bids? Here's our sports news correspondent, Alex Capstick.
Well, I think it's partly because of where it is. It's happening in Australia and New Zealand. So the times of the day that the matches are going to be played is outside prime time viewing in European countries. So those games will kick off in the early hours of the morning up until midday. But Gianni Infantino said he understands that, but that's not a good reason. It's not an excuse. And he talks about the growing interest in the women's game. 1.2 billion viewers, according to FIFA, tuned into the last Women's World Cup. That was in France 4 years ago. There's a global audience of 365 million for the Women's Euros, which was hosted by England and won by England last year. So he doesn't think that's a good enough reason.
The BBC's Alex Capstick there. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. For more on these stories, visit the BBC News website. Thanks to James Graham for producing, Solmaz Aslan, studio directing. Our editor is Joe Critcher. I'm Leanna Byrne. Talk to you same time tomorrow.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.